White and gold? You see white and gold? Blue and gold? Okay. All right. Sorry. Okay. Two colors. I heard white and gold. Anybody else have any other colors? Combination there? Riley? You have a purple in there? Anybody else? Blue and black? Okay. This thing's going around causing great conflict on what color this dress is. Now, you science people can instruct me later, but apparently your mind interprets color based on the influx of light and makes adjustments because there's color in light. And so it's an interpretation of your brain or your perspective on what you see. And apparently this is one of the greatest pictures that they've found that depicts the conflict in your head of what's going on and what you're seeing. That's perspective, right? So some people are saying white or gold and white. Other people are saying blue and black. And so we have to come to understand that we are tainted in so many ways, based on our experiences, based on what our minds interpret as information as we gather it, based on what the world shows us. But also, we are fallen. We are sinful. We are carnal. Remember, we talked about carnality last week. Carnality is that pursuit of meeting my own desires, my own wants, mostly out of the physical, mostly out of what we can experience or sense in this world. That is who we are in nature, in the old man. But God saved us with that great love, not based on anything that we have done, but based on who He is. He saved us. And there was a rebirth. We were born again, a new creation, a new creature, where the spiritual gives us understanding of the reality of life, of the things going on around us. Yet we are strapped with this old man that continues to try to interpret things in what we see and what we do, giving us information in our heads and in our hearts of what life is. But God has the ultimate perspective. And that's the joy of salvation, one, is that we have opportunity to engage Him on the right perspective. Without Him, without His Spirit, we're clueless. We continue to make decisions. We continue to make conclusions based on the reality of our carnality, how it applies to me. That's sin nature. And it has ramifications. But God steps in and saves us. He births us again by His Spirit, that we would have a perspective of God. No one, I think, in Scripture depicts this more than David. We were talking Wednesday night, and we were going through Seek God for the City, and then we went through what we normally go through, and that's a psalm every Wednesday night. And we were in Psalm 13. So if you want to turn there, if you would like. And you know what? Let me see if I can look it up in the NIV so everybody can be happy. Psalm 13. So David says this: "How long, Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me?" Now, in this, David is emoting something. He's emoting things that are on his heart and on his mind with a God that he trusts. A lot of this is probably in his carnality. Some of the things that he wrestles with as concepts, that God never leaves, never forsakes, that we can trust God, that he never will turn his back on us. But yet, there's a stir, a wrestle in his heart. He's living in this world that will teach and instruct him in ways that are not right. And he's trying to interpret what's going on in his mind. Just like we were looking at that dress. And our mind's telling us one thing, and maybe reality is something different. But he says, how long must I wrestle with my thoughts and day after day have sorrow in my heart? How long will my enemy triumph over me? Look on me and answer, Lord my God. Give light to my eyes, or I will sleep in death, and my enemy will say, I have overcome him, and my foes will rejoice when I fall. But here's the perspective. Here's where God's Spirit speaks. He says, but I trust your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. I will sing the Lord's praise, for he has been good to me. In the NASB, David said, enlighten my eyes. Give me spiritual eyes that I may see. We have no ability to have the right perspective. None. There's nothing that you can think, do, research, study to give you proper perspective. But God's Spirit, who indwells you, gives you perspective. You can interpret life, you can interpret relationship, you can interpret circumstance, you can interpret all those things that you wrestle with, even the appetites of the heart that God placed there in order to hunger for him. You can interpret by God's Spirit a right perspective. What happens when we interpret things with our carnality or with our perspective of the flesh? It's usually met with discouragement, depression, anxiety, fear. But God says, come to me. I'm going to give you a right perspective. I'm going to give you insight to things that are way too wonderful for you to understand or comprehend. My Spirit indwells you, and he speaks, and he speaks lovingly. Come to me, as David did. He says, you know what? I'm struggling here. I don't understand it. I'm trying to interpret the things that are going on around me. I'm not grasping what's going on here. And I don't feel your love. I don't feel your presence. But I know you, and I trust you, and you've been faithful. Give me perspective. Do you need perspective this morning? We're going to spend some time in prayer. We're going to have people along the wall. That if you need someone to help you engage in an understanding of what's going on around you that can help you come alongside of you, God can do it all his own. But a lot of times he wants the body to engage one another in relationship. He created us for relationship with him. And then what's the second command that's just as great as the first, he said? Love one another like you love yourself. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And love your neighbor as yourself. So we're going to spend some time. Ask God for perspective. I would venture to guess that there is probably no one here that has a grasp on what's going on in their lives right now. There's questions being left unanswered. I'm not saying that God's going to give you the right or give you the answer, but he will give you perspective. So why don't we take some time? David goes on to say, I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and heard my cry. He lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and mire. He set my feet on a rock and gave me a firm place to stand. He put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see and fear the Lord and put their trust in Him. There was an act of God, Him becoming one of us, walking this life, giving Himself totally to be a substitutionary penalty for your sin. It was death. We celebrate that in a way that is reflective. We pray that is by His Spirit honoring to Him, and an expression of love, we do what He asks us to do. This is not obviously something to take lightly, but it's also not something for us to fear a wrath of penalty. It's already been done. The penalty has been made on your behalf. Elders, would you come? I don't know if you fall under this category or not, but so many times when I'm looking at things through fleshly eyes, I think if I can argue my point or come to some kind of conclusion and be confident in that, that somehow that becomes true. We don't have to convince God of the reality that this such love as He has shown exists. It does exist. There is a God who loves unconditionally. There is a God who loves regardless of what you've done, regardless of your history, regardless of your past, regardless of how many times you rejected Him. There's a God who loves this deeply. And He stands waiting to convince you, to encourage you into this reality. There's a truth, an undeniable truth, that this love is for you. That's what we do when we recognize that Jesus came and He died. We're recognizing that there's a love that is beyond belief. And Jesus was sitting in the midst of His friends. He was talking to them about love. He was talking about the kingdom. He was talking to them about the Father. He was talking about these things that their minds were blown. They didn't understand it. But yet, they didn't have the Holy Spirit. And so they're wrestling with these concepts and perspective. And He talked to them about His love. No love, there's no greater love than this, that a man lays down his life for his friends. They still didn't get it. But then, Jesus did it. He gave His life. And ultimately, the Holy Spirit came upon those same guys who sat around that table as His friends. Then they understood love. Then they understood what He meant. This morning, we can understand that kind of love only by His Spirit. He said, "This is My body. This is what I've come to do. It's going to be broken for you." Expression of love. When you take this, think of Me. Let's dwell on Him. When you're trying to explain something to someone who really has no background to understand what you're trying to explain to them, what do? You try to give them visuals, right? Examples. God's trying to communicate love to the world. What do? He gave us a visual. He gave us an understanding. No one can understand God. Therefore, God became one of us. Jesus is the ultimate visual of the expression of love to the world. It wasn't enough that He wrote it in the clouds. It wasn't enough that He caused the earth to shake and the mountains to move and all those things, the sea to part and the fire to be seen in the sky and all those things. That wasn't enough to communicate. So God sent his son to communicate love. This is a visual that Jesus came in the flesh and in blood, not only to pay for your sin, but to open you up to a reality by his Spirit and the expression of the love that God has for you. A visual. Jesus said, it's in my blood that I'm writing a new covenant. A new covenant of love expressed to you by my Spirit. Whenever you drink it, think of me. Jesus, I'm reminded so many times of my ignorance. I'm reminded of how much I don't know about you. And the hope that we have in our hearts that burn within us is that you will complete that which you started. Jesus, you came, you saved us, you restored us into relationship, you gave us your Spirit, and he convicts us, he encourages us, he comes alongside of us on those things and concepts and mysteries when it comes to you. And you said that you will complete all good work in us. So we know that you will continue to speak. You'll give us perspective. When we're falling, when we're confused, when the things around us is not making sense, and the people are rejecting us, people are abandoning us, letting us down, Jesus, you are there to give us perspective. You are there to give us insight, wisdom, knowledge. And it all centers around you, Jesus. I thank you that you came. I thank you that you speak, you interact. We love you and we thank you in your name, Jesus. Amen.